This is the Historians Podcast, and I'm Bob Cudmore. We welcome Scott Heffner to the program. How you doing, Scott?
I'm well, Bob. How are you?
Okay. Scott Heffner is site manager and, in fact, lives in a caretaker's cottage at an historic site, Old Fort Johnson Historic Site in Fort Johnson, New York, at the corner of Routes 5 and Routes 67 in Fort Johnson. How long have you been there, Scott?
I have been there 15 years.
What were you doing before that?
I was the site manager at the Navy Farm Historic Site in Rotterdam Junction, which is about 12 miles east of Amsterdam on the other side of the river.
Mm-hmm. Well, so this is kind of your career.
Pretty much. So I've been, that would be almost 21 years in historic sites, and then I spent the previous 10 years working in libraries and archives.
And you're quite knowledgeable, of course, about Fort Johnson and what it was and so on and so forth. But being the site manager implies kind of a hands-on thing. I mean, you have to fix the building, don't you, or do things for the building?
Pretty much. I joke that almost every window from where I live overlooks the fort, so I'm always keeping an eye. Every time I turn around, there it is.
Right.
But we, you know, are a small, private, non-for-profit, so there are only two of us. There's myself and a director. Everybody else is a volunteer, so we kind of share the responsibilities, but I, you know, pretty much keep up the grounds in the house and act as the senior curator and the senior historian and tour guide and, set up for things and take stuff down and put it away after events and pretty much a little bit of everything.
And the other employee there is Rachel Bliven, right, who...
Correct.
Does, you know, works with you.
She does all the stuff that I don't like to do.
Such as?
All the paperwork.
Ah, I see.
the paperwork and writing press releases and doing outreach and keeping track of money.
Okay, that's good. Good division of labor.
Uh-huh.
Well, let me ask you about Fort Johnson. What is Old Fort Johnson? Who lived there?
Fort Johnson is the 1749 home of Sir William Johnson, who was the British Commissioner for Indian Affairs. And so our site was an important military post and Indian Council site of 1754 to 1763.
Mm-hmm. And what happened in 63? Is that when Sir William and Molly Brant moved up to Johnstown?
Yes, he had founded the city of Johnstown, and he built a larger house up there called Johnson Hall, which is a state historic site you can visit. So you can see the two halves of sort of William Johnson's life, 8 miles apart.
Mm-hmm. And, the new house, obviously, or the one in Johnstown's bigger, but yours is the one that you're at is interesting in that it's called a fort, and it is, in fact, a fortified building or the fortified building of its day, would you say?
Right. There were really only three, if you think of official military forts, there were really only three in the Mohawk Valley. There was Fort Hunter, which is on the Mohawk River where the Schoharie Creek comes in.
Mm-hmm.
There was Fort Plain, which is about 20 miles west, and then there was Fort Stanwix out in Rome. Other than that, the Mohawk Valley was protected mainly by fortified homesteads and churches. By the time of the Revolution, there were about 26 fortified homesteads and churches from Schenectady out to what is now Rome.
What makes Fort Johnson fortified?
Well, it was a big stone house that he built out of the profits of the fur trade. I kind of jokingly refer to it as a McMansion. It was the biggest private house in the Mohawk Valley west of Schenectady when he built it, and it was a complex of buildings. So there were some flanking buildings out in front with a courtyard and other supporting buildings out in back, and he fortified it by enclosing the front with a stockade fence, cutting a number of gun ports, which are holes cut in the masonry so that you can fire out of with a gun, a barracks, and a blockhouse to overlook the property. So he just essentially reinforced it against invading. This would be the French and Indian War, or the Seven Years' War, and you were worried about it, the threat of a raiding parties, French raiding parties from Canada.
Mm-hmm. Was it ever attacked?
Twice. Twice by the French, once in 1757 and again in 1760. There was a price on William Johnson's head, a bounty essentially by the French, first because he had an uncle who was a famous naval admiral, but then after September of 1755, he had a bounty on himself by the French because of his victory against the French force at Lake George in September of 1755.
Mm. I presume that these attacks were not successful?
No. Both times the French were driven off. In 1757, they attacked in the early evening, and they used the excuse of the diversion of the milkmaids were bringing the cows in for the night through the front gates. And the French used this as a diversion to try to attack in the front, but they were driven off and repulsed.
Hmm. And the same in 1760.
Yeah, I don't exactly know how that
came down.
But it was unsuccessful because the house is still here.
Yes. And the one, maybe shows you where my mind is at, the one building that I've written about in the columns, and I think even a short chapter in a book about something at Old Fort Johnson, is the privy, the outhouse. You have a famous outhouse there, right?
Our premier artifact. It's one of only about a half a dozen pre-revolutionary outhouses left in the United States. We tell a somewhat fanciful story. It depends on what you want to believe. But in 1783, Washington was going down the valley. George Washington was going down the valley on an inspection tour. He was on his way to Fort Plain. And he, of course, had been an officer in the French and Indian War and had met and known William Johnson during that war. So he apparently wanted to see the house. Mm-hmm. So they stopped here on the grounds, apparently, and had lunch. And I don't know what you have to do before you get on your horse after a heavy lunch and ride 20 miles, but we assumed Washington had to go. And so we claim he is the most famous occupant of our privy.
In fact, the headline I used was, George Washington sat here.
Exactly. He didn't sleep here. He sat here. I tell people, if you don't believe me, then you can prove me wrong.
Now, but the privy's been rebuilt, and in fact, you had a terrible flooded, and the whole valley did, that section of the valley. Was it back in 2011 now?
2011,
yeah.
Yes.
So anyway, I believe that the privy ended up on its side, but you've...
Go ahead. It floated up off of its foundations and tipped over onto its side, but we had a local construction company whose name I'm ashamed to say I can't remember right now, volunteered. They brought down a crane and a big strap, and they essentially wrapped a strap around it and picked it up and put it back on its foundation.
And you don't use it as a privy anymore?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
I hope not. I hope nobody uses it.
The privy at Old Fort Johnson. Well, tell you what, we'll take our break and we'll be back in just a moment with Scott Hefner, who is site manager of Old Fort Johnson, which is at the corner of Routes 5 and 67 in the village of Fort Johnson. You're listening to the Historians Podcast. I'm Bob Cudmore. We depend on your contributions to keep the podcast going. Please go to our website on the GoFundMe operation. That's GoFundMe.com/historians2018. And they'll walk you through the process of giving online using your credit card. If you'd rather not do that, if you'd rather just write out a check, You can make the check out to me, Bob Cudmore, and send to Bob Cudmore, 125 Horstman Drive, Scotia, New York, 12302. Scott Heffner joins us, a site manager of Old Fort Johnson Historic Site in Fort Johnson, New York. Before we go any farther, in case we were to just keep chatting and run out of time and not do it, we are recording this in the summer of 2018, and you've got some events coming up in August and other months. You're open seasonally, correct?
Correct. We're open from May 16th to October, to the middle of October.
So what's happening at the Old Fort?
Well, our favorite thing, at least my favorite thing, is that at the end of August, and this year it's August 25th, we always show a movie out on the lawn in August, and this year it's going to be the 1939 classic Drums Along the Mohawk.
Really?
With Henry Fonda, which we haven't shown for probably about 10 years, and we decided it was time to show it again. So we invite people to come out for that and bring a picnic if they want, and we have some always have some light refreshments, and we start the movie at about 7:30.
Mm. And I don't know if you're going to do it this year, but I know we've attended when you have a soup day, right?
That's the fall is when all of our favorite events happen. And this year, and it always usually is around the end of September. This year it's September 22nd. We call it a Taste of History. And it's our annual fall fundraiser and features a sampler of homemade soups, bread, and pies. And we get local chefs who create different kinds of soup. Usually we have about 14 different kinds of soup. And I think last year we had 26 different kinds of pie.
Uh-huh.
And so for a $25 donation, you get a nice souvenir mug, a commemorative mug, and all of the soup and pie that you can sample.
That sounds good. And you have talks, your local historians and others give talks at the...
The third Wednesday of the month.
Okay.
So that is in June, July, and August. So that's about the middle of August.
Yeah, very good. Now,
and they can look at that on our website, which is www.oldfortjohnson, written all as one word, .org. And we also have a Facebook page.
Very good. Now, you said at the beginning that this is a privately operated museum, if you will. It's the Montgomery County Historical Society, correct?
Correct, yep. And that was an organization that was founded by a group of Amsterdam businessmen in 1904 to collect and preserve Mohawk Valley history. And then in 1905, the fort came up for sale, and they persuaded someone... who was actually a distant
relative,
a distant relation into the Johnson family, to purchase it and give it to them, which he did in 1906, and then it opened up that summer.
And I believe that the Amsterdam industrialist Stephen Sanford put a fair amount of money into this venture.
Correct.
Didn't
he donated about $20,000, and that, of course, is in the days before income tax. In about 1907, in order to start an endowment and help do some repairs that were needed to done. He was our first and primary benefactor. His son, of course, John, was one of the founders of the Historical Society. So.
Oh, really? Okay.
They had been interested right since the beginning.
But since then, I mean, that's mainly what this group does. The Montgomery County Historical Society is operate the fort, the Old Fort.
Correct. Yeah, we pretty much just run Fort Johnson in Montgomery County. We are very fortunate. to have the county historian's office. They have their own archive. It's called the Montgomery County Department of History and Archives. So I always say that we do the artifacts and the county historian, she does the paperwork.
Okay. I'll keep avoiding that paperwork. But, Scott, I do want to brag about you a little bit. You and the current county historian, who is Kelly Farquhar, you co-authored a book with her about Amsterdam history, I do believe.
Correct. Yep. What year was that? Was about 2006. Because there was a flood in the Mohawk Valley, and about the time it hit, we were supposed to send the manuscript of the book in, and we had to delay it for 2 weeks because we couldn't get into Kelly's office in the Fonda courthouse.
Oh, that's right, because that flood was particularly bad up there.
Correct. Yeah, that was worse to the west of us than it was down here. It was one of the Images of America series, and took photographs of the town of Amsterdam and the hamlets within it, and talked about its history. And I know it's still available because I think I've got some copies for sale here.
That's true. That's another. You have a nice gift shop at the.
That's true. If you buy it from us, I'll sign a. I'll do an author signed copy.
That's great. Let me ask you to let's walk through the history of the building. You know, because we, Sir William Johnson, British Indian agent, hero of the, as far as the British were concerned, of the French and Indian War. He died a couple years before the American Revolution really got underway. And then what happened? His descent.
William Johnson was lucky to have died, I always say, in July of 1774. So he didn't have to make any decisions whatsoever about the revolution. But all of his children and most of his tenants all fled to Canada as loyalists as the revolution broke out. And his son, John, we could spend a couple of hours talking about this, but I will sort of briefly sum it up by saying that John Johnson, who was William's oldest son, essentially is the guy who organized the raiding regiments that swept back through this part of New York State during the Revolution and destroyed most of the Mohawk, Schoharie, and Cherry Valleys.
Mm. So among the people who had remained, the Johnson name went from being exalted to, you know, very low, right? I mean, they didn't...
Yeah, pretty much his kids ruined his reputation here in the Mohawk Valley.
Mm.
The revolution also, it left a lot of bitter feeling up here because it was something much more like a civil war than anything else. Mm-hmm. The issue of whether you're going to stay with the Americans or leave with the British is an issue that divides families. Some mm-hmm. of them stay and some of them leave. And so those people that John Johnson organized to raid back through here who were burning down the barns and the grist mills and that kind of stuff, they are your sons and your brothers and your cousins and neighbors and friends who are doing this destruction. And then the defense of the valley is left mostly up here in this part of New York, is left mostly to the local militia groups, who, of course, are all related to the loyalist raiders who are coming through. Hmm. So it turns into this very bitter, rather isolated struggle up here between family members for control of this area.
Now, John Johnson, Sir William's son, when his father moved up to Johnson Hall, didn't John Johnson then live at Old Fort Johnson?
He did. He probably lived here longer than his father did because he took over the house in 1763 and lived here until his father died in 1774. And then moved up to Johnson Hall for a year or so before he ended up leaving for Canada.
So, what happened to the building, Old Fort Johnson, when the Johnsons went to Canada and John Johnson started leading raiding parties back? Who got the building?
Oh, it was seized by the Americans. the American, the revolutionary government, which was called the part of which was called the Committee of Safety. They kind of took over, the Committee of Safety took over the management and the running of the government as the British government collapsed up here. And they had a subcommittee, which I just love, called the Committee of Sequestration. And their job was to go around and identify properties that had been abandoned by loyalists and take them over. So they took over Fort Johnson. They rented it through the revolution and then sold it to the renter in 1783. And the guy who bought it actually is the man who's considered to be the founder of Amsterdam, Albert Vedder.
Okay. And various kind of, I guess you'd say, wealthy people owned the building through the years, right?
Correct. Although most of the people who owned Fort Johnson in the first half of the 19th century were much more interested in the 500 acres of land and the grist mill and the sawmill that went with it. No one did much of anything to the house. And the last people to own it was a family named Aiken. A man named Ethan Aiken bought it in the 1850s, and they used it mostly as a summer home until the last of his kids, who actually lived in the house, died about 1904.
And there was such bad feeling against the Johnsons at some point that the settlement of Fort Johnson, or the village of it, was changed. The name of that was changed to Aiken, right?
Right. When the village was incorporated in 19, or when the I'm sorry, when the post office was established here in the 1880s, they named the post office Aiken after, of course, Ethan Aiken. He was the biggest landowner in the area, and it wasn't. And when they incorporated the village in 1909, they switched back to Fort Johnson, angering tremendously Ethan Aiken's son, who happened to be in the House of Representatives, at the U.S. House of Representatives at the time, and made this impassioned speech on the floor of the House condemning this choice because William Johnson was seen as, you know, a terrible British colonial figure for a lot of other reasons. And what it came down to was the fact that Representative Aiken was so intensely disliked on the floor of the House of Representatives that they voted against him.
Yes, I mean, he was quite a character. Again, I've written about him. He was mayor of Amsterdam. There was all sorts of turmoil when he was in office.
He was the first mayor. He was one of the early mayors of the village of Fort Johnson, too, and used to sit on the bridge that goes over the little creek on Route 5 and enforce the speeding laws with a shotgun.
Yes, he was. Well, anyway, but wasn't it by then, 1909, 1910, I mean, that anti-British feeling or maybe anti-Johnson feeling is sort of subsiding?
Oh, I think so, sure. I don't think people remember it, but the U.S. spent a good part of the 19th century preparing for or talking about possible war with Great Britain over a whole bunch of different issues, most of which we've now completely forgotten. There was, right up until the outbreak of the First World War, there was a surprising amount of anti-English feeling still in America.
But, again, that sort of has subsided. I mean, we've been allied with the British now for probably a century almost.
Right.
And it just seems, I remember growing up myself, you know, after World War II, the idea of the Johnsons and the colonial days had a certain charm to it or something like that.
Well, yeah, sure, I think so. I mean, you know, he was... I think for a long time he was looked at as a British colonial figure, right? And we're the United States of America. You know, we overthrew the British. We don't care about British colonial figures. But he is really instrumental in developing and settling this part of New York before the Revolution. If you look at the history of the development of a lot of the other American colonies, they are marked by dreadful settler and Indian conflict. Mm-hmm. Western Pennsylvania and Virginia and a lot of other places. New York under William Johnson, at least until the Revolution happens, develops peacefully. The settlers move west in a fairly organized way. The Indians and the settlers get along, and it's a peaceful development of this area, which is kind of unique in the history of most of the American colonies.
Hmm. We're talking with Scott Hefner, who is site manager of Old Fort Johnson. When people visit the fort, I mean, you talked about some events you've got coming up, but people just show up and go through the building, right?
Yep, we do tours on demand.
Okay. What is it that people are interested to see, or what maybe surprises them when they go through the building and so forth?
Oh, that's a tough question. I don't know, because every tour is different. The fort is sort of half and half. It's 8 rooms and plus a big attic, and about half of it is sort of period to the Johnson era. We have some furniture and pieces that were actually owned by the Johnson family. The other half, we try to sort of tell the history of this part of the Mohawk Valley through the French and Indian War, and then how it led to the Revolution. And we try to sort of tell the other side of the story. I mean, there are two sides to every argument, and there is a loyalist side to what happened in the Revolution, and a lot of Americans were caught up in that, so we try to tell that. We do temporary exhibits as well, and I just right off the top of my head, I cannot think of anything that everybody says, wow, look at that. There are a lot of things, let's put it that way.
Yes, and I guess we will be ending kind of on a down note or a cautionary note. I do remember back in 2011 with the flooding, and you were working then not with Rachel Bliven, but Alessa Wiley as the curator, I believe. And
right.
It was a real struggle. The water came up. I don't know. It just was a real struggle to keep the building intact.
It was about 5 feet over the first floor. And we were lucky that the fort sits further back from the river, so it was out of the current. So the water sort of came up and went down without sort of moving laterally and washing out the foundations. So we were lucky. So I think that's a positive note.
Yes. Okay.
And we had a lot of local support. We had more than 70 individual volunteers who came and helped us during the year it took to clean up. And who, scrubbed floors and helped paint and scrape paint and do all manner of sometimes very unpleasant jobs.
Well,
so we were very lucky with that.
Well, Scott Hefner, we're just about out of time. He's site manager of Old Fort Johnson Historic Site, Fort Johnson, New York. You can find them online. They're open during the warm weather months. Thank you, Scott. It's a pleasure talking with you.
My pleasure. You too, Bob.
Take care. You've been listening to the Historians Podcast. I'm Bob Cudmore.